chapter 1, book of Colossians, chapter 1, as we look at the final verse of this chapter, and I will read from verse 24. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word to us. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. As we reach the end of chapter 1, it's probably obvious by the layout in your scripture text there that chapter 2 comes, that break comes in the middle of a section, so we will be carrying on, but this verse does kind of bring to a close Paul's relating his suffering and the work of the gospel as a minister to the effort that he puts into it. That's the title tonight, Gospel Effort. And that verse, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you tonight as we examine God's word together that Christ alone is the source, strength, and satisfaction of your gospel effort. So labor joyfully for Jesus. Be encouraged in the labors that you perform for him. Firstly, tonight, I want to encourage us to delight in being a secondary cause. He works within me, is Paul's thought in this verse. Now, mostly in life, in relationships, we desire to be number one. We desire to be the most important person to our spouse, or the one that is seen as the leader of our home. We don't like to play second fiddle, as it were. But here, as we understand how God accomplishes his will in this earth, we understand that we are exactly that. That as God has decreed, all that will come to pass, and all that will come to pass will serve his good will and his glory. We, in our works, we in our lives, are secondary causes. Our confession of faith, the second paragraph of chapter 5, says, although in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause, all things come to pass immutably and infallibly, yet by the same providence, he ordereth them to fall out according to the nature of second causes, either necessarily, freely, or contingently. Now, I'll speak of this very personally for myself. God intended for me to exist. I did not just drop from the sky, and perhaps against what some might think, I didn't crawl out from under a rock somewhere either. But God ordained that Bob Wood and Gloria Wood would meet, go to a Harlem Globetrotters game together on their first date, fall in love, my dad quicker than my mom, and someday I would be born. Secondary causes to accomplish God's decree that he intended. And in case you were wondering, the same worked for you as well. I am in no way special, except maybe the Harlem Globetrotters game. along there. God has ordained all things that come to pass. His will cannot change, and yet he has made us, and he intends to use us. Paul relates this in Romans 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. What a great set of verses tonight, as we will hear from the calls, as they are called to their new mission field. Now, we don't just pray, God, save the people in XYZ nation. We raise money and we send people to preach the gospel in that nation as we pray that God will save people in that nation. We are secondary causes. He is the source working through us. Secondly, then, we are to work intently toward the goal of the gospel. That is that strength that he works in us. To seek God's gospel will in our families, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our lift groups, in our Sunday school classes, in higher ed, it takes work. And there's a great phrase in Scripture that I think encapsulates this, and it's the phrase, house to house. In Acts 20, Paul relates this, that the elders remember that he went house to house teaching and encouraging the people. He did so day and night through tears. He was working hard to encourage them. Paul also notes this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:13, in the way of an antithesis by way of sin. And this is for young widows who were kind of caught up in the moment and shouldn't be enrolled in the registry of widows. There's a lot going on here with early church polity and church governance and even church offices, et cetera, et cetera. But he says this in verse 13 of 1 Timothy 5, besides that, they learn to be idlers going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies saying what they should not. And so there's this antithesis set up that circles around this phrase, house to house. These women were doing sinful things, and that how much effort were they exerting in it? Well, they were going house to house doing it. Paul was discipling people. He was training people up. And how did he do that? He was putting forth great effort. He was going from house to house. There's also an encouragement tucked away in here about gifting in our work. Not all of us are gifted in the same way. Not all of us are called to serve Christ in the same way in the kingdom. And we find this gifting issue tucked away here also by way of antithesis in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And it's where it goes on from Stephen's execution. It says, and Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. To me, it's a beautiful thing that while persecuting the church, Paul went house to house. While discipling the church and encouraging the church, Paul went house to house. And I wonder if he ever approached a door to knock on the door and would have a little bit of a flashback of, Lord, forgive me for what I used to do when I'd go door to door. But let the encouragement be this, that what worked against you in your sin will work for you in your service to Christ. God has given each of you a particular set of skills, a particular set of gifts, even a particular set of interests that when you were without Christ worked against you. But now that you are in Christ, God can use some of those very same things for you to serve great purpose in the church and to build up the body of Christ around you, whether it be through teaching or greeting or simply in raising your family, blessing your coworkers at work, whatever it might be. However God calls you to serve in the kingdom, he has gifted you to fulfill that call. We see that clearly in the Apostle Paul even before he was the Apostle Paul. He was the harasser of the church. He ravaged the church. And then he came to bless the church and to build her up. So knowing that Christ is the source of our labors, then we see also that he himself is the strength of our labors. And so we're encouraged then to work intently, to work and diligently toward the goal of the gospel in whatever sphere Christ has called us to labor for him. Thirdly, and this is an extraction, this isn't definitely handled in this verse, though it is definitely handled in this section, I want to encourage us to suffer joyfully under the pains and trials that will come in laboring diligently for the gospel. This is the first part of our satisfaction. Yes, satisfaction in pains and trials. Paul relates in a couple of different passages in Scripture the realities of what he was going through while he was toiling, while he was proclaiming Christ, warning and teaching, while he was struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. What was going on in the environment of that? Was he driving a Bentley? No. Why? Bentleys had not been invented for quite a few years. But he also wasn't riding in the nicest chariot. He wasn't on the nice fancy ships. He was on trade ships. Paul did not have some innate sense of wealth and profitability in his labors for the gospel. And he relates in Acts 20, and now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. If the Holy Spirit told me anywhere you go outside of your house, what awaits you is imprisonment and affliction, I would be very tempted to stay in my pajamas and just lounge around the house. But Paul went where Christ called him to go, knowing through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that not good things would happen to him there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a blessing for us that Paul continued to struggle and strive in the face of opposition and persecution? And some of you are probably already here before I even get there, but 2 Corinthians 11. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Why? Because their presumption was that 40 would kill you. So we'll back it off one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We have a number of young people in the back. That's having rocks thrown at you. Not what stoned means to your generation. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. What a list of experiences. If you were sitting at soup tonight and some guy came in and started relating his experiences like this, you'd probably have a couple of thoughts like, I think he might be making some of that up. I mean, the danger, it feels like a musical is going to break out at some point here. A song of suffering, a song of hurt, a song of deprivation. Why? For the sake of the gospel. And in the midst of that, who was he worried about? The churches. He wasn't worried about himself. He's worried about the churches. Paul is such a great example for us of suffering joyfully, whether I'm abased or whether I abound. I'm content in Christ. What an example for us of finding satisfaction in Christ as he labored for him. Fourthly, watch the gospel work effectively, perfecting you and others in Christ. That's the second part of the satisfaction. The first part of the satisfaction is joy in Christ as we labor for him, even if we suffer. The second part is joy in Christ, watching him do what he promised he would do, which is use the gospel to build his church. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And how does God do that? He does that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who enters our hearts, who gives us new hearts. He is the one who calls us to Christ. He is the one who unites us to Christ, brings us into that union with him. He is the one who opens our eyes so that we might look at God's word and read it and understand it and delight in it and want to do what it says. He is the one who keeps molding and shaping us, conforming us to the image of Christ. He is the one who indwells us and empowers us so that we might diligently serve Christ in our gospel efforts. He is the one who is at work, even in the verse before where Paul says, him, Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. How is everyone matured? He uses elsewhere the phrase growing up in Christ. How does that happen? Well, it happens through primary means, the work of the Holy Spirit, and it works by secondary means. Paul was proclaiming, Paul was warning, Paul was teaching to reach that end of those that he had a presence, a ministry with, that they might be mature in Christ. And friend, I want to encourage you, whatever corner of the kingdom Christ has you working in, no matter what area. There's a great couple of verses. Of course, all the verses are great. Don't take that out of context. But tucked away in 1 Timothy 5, at the end of that chapter that we just mentioned about those idlers going house to house, these couple of verses stick out in this conversation about good works in our lives, even if they're small, they're tucked away. Paul says the sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also, good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. In whatever way Christ is calling you to serve him, to serve the gospel ends of the kingdom, you may be in a position where you feel like no one ever notices. No one ever sees. But I can guarantee you, friend, Christ sees. He knows. Mostly because he ordained you to be in that space, doing that work. And it may seem like the most inconspicuous thing that you are doing for the kingdom, but it's conspicuous to Christ. It is seen. It will be seen. So friends, tonight, be encouraged in Paul's words here to us by the Holy Spirit that Christ alone is the source of our gospel effort. That Christ alone is the strength of our gospel effort. Christ alone is the satisfaction of our gospel effort. And so, brothers and sisters, let us labor joyfully for Jesus in whatever he has called us to do. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we ask tonight that you would bolster hearts, that you would strengthen wills to do all that you have commanded us to do, to walk in the ways that you have called us to walk in the path of righteousness and gospel effort, whether it be one of immediate blessing or immediate suffering. We choose, Lord, to take up our cross and follow Christ, knowing that he, by his Holy Spirit, is the one doing the work and sharing with us the joy and satisfaction of seeing men and women and boys and girls changed, brought from darkness to light. Father, use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.